And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Today there's a reading from the Gospel of Mark that I'd like to share with you. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light you'll see, no, I won't be afraid, no, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountains should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me, stand by me. Whenever you're in trouble, you just stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand up. Stand by me, stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me, stand by me, stand by me, oh, stand by me. stand by me.
And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
This morning we're concluding our Pride 2018 sermon series in which we've been focusing on the first few chapters of the Gospel of Mark. As I mentioned, next week we begin our annual Summer Crossflix sermon series where we focus on finding intersections of faith in film. Next week we'll begin that with The Post. But at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus, Pastor Mark will not be doing Crossflix during the summer. He will be continuing on in the Gospel of Mark. So for some of you who absolutely love Crossflix, this is the place to be. If it's not your cup of tea, going to Harmony Toluca Lake will be an option for you, but we want you to be here. And then Mark and I will both team up again this fall for our sermon series called hashtag Reclaiming Jesus, because if there's ever a time we need to reclaim Jesus as progressive Christians, it's now. Amen? Well, today we're continuing to talk about Jesus and the disciples who so far in Mark's gospel have been mostly background characters. They've been called and they've walked around with Jesus, but we haven't really seen them do a lot yet. But the story that Tim just read of Jesus and the disciples out on the boat in the Sea of Galilee, calming the waters during a storm, illustrates just who the disciples were, who they thought they were, and who they thought Jesus was. And we can see that we have a lot in common with them today. Now, I'm not a big water person. I won't go to Catalina because you have to take a boat. Been there, done that, not doing it again. I won't take a cruise ever, although I have friends who have desperately tried to get me to go, and that's because of Bev Freeman, who is not here today. Ask her the story sometime how she and her sister-in-law, it was in 2007, they were on that cruise, and I didn't look it up because I thought I could talk to her before church. They were on the cruise that was in Greece, that it was more of a barge, and it hit something and started taking on water and began to sink. Bev and her sister-in-law got off that and are clearly okay. We saw all that on the news, and then she was in church on that Easter Sunday of 2007, and we simply marveled at her tenacity because they gave her an extra cruise as basically a makeup prize for that experience. And she went. Let's just say she's a little past 80. I don't think I would do that. So I'm just saying, talk to her about that sometime. But we know the power that water can have for good and for destruction. We simply have to look at our United States territory of Puerto Rico. We are reminded of the devastation that water can wreak when it comes in the forms of hurricanes and tornadoes and floods. Well, it was that same sort of panic that gripped the disciples in our gospel lesson. So to set the stage, Jesus had called the disciples, and they had been so busy teaching and preaching that they just hadn't been eating right or getting enough rest. And so Jesus says, here's what we're going to do. Tonight we'll go out in the boat. We're just going to have a night off. We'll just chill for a while. We'll get some rest, and then as we cross the Sea of Galilee, because we're always going to be doing something in Jesus' world. Well, almost as soon as he's on the boat, Jesus just says, I'm falling asleep. And he leaves the disciples to navigate the waters. But then the unexpected happens. A storm comes up. The winds begin to whip all around them. The waves mount and crash over the side of the boat, and it rocks simply from one side to the other. Even though many of them were fishermen, and likely quite good ones, the disciples simply could not steady that boat. So they began to panic. They did their best to rouse Jesus from his slumber, telling him they needed him to settle the waters, that they needed him just in general. And when it seems like Jesus' sleep and his need for sleep is simply going to win over the disciples' need to wake him and their panic, they ask him, "Do you not care about us, Jesus?" And it's at that point that Jesus stands up. You can almost see him yawn and then utter a deep sigh. And then he stretches out his hands and commands that the storms hush, that they are quiet, that they are to behave. And they do. Now, the disciples up to this point had thought Jesus was this really great teacher. They began to wonder, who is it really in the boat with us? Who have we really committed our lives to following? Growing up, I was taught a very surface level meaning of this water story. The great theologian Lynn Sweet says, it was like this. Now remember, children, if you're ever in a storm, just try and be a little more like Jesus. We were taught to see Jesus, he says, as some heroic figure who gives us an example of how to be courageous when the waves threaten to sink us. But then he says, you know, the purpose of this story is altogether different. In the ancient world, the sea symbolized the powers of chaos and of evil. Jesus commands it to be still. You see, it's only Jesus that can command and master the demonic and the unruly forces of life and hold them at bay. Mark tells us that when they come, those forces of evil, he will be there. Jesus will be there. Jesus will be right in the boat with us. The great artist Rembrandt understood this theology. He only painted one seascape painting, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. While it was famous in its own right, it's perhaps best known for being one of the paintings stolen in 1990 from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. 28 years later, no one still knows its whereabouts, although there have been rumors from time to time. When I've gone with my son Joshua in Boston to visit that museum, there is a dedicated empty frame on the wall where it should be, where it was stolen from. I invite you to Google that when you get home, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee by Rembrandt, so that you can see it more closely, because our projectors do not do it justice. In this painting, Rembrandt shows the panic-stricken faces of the disciples as their small vessel is being raised on a high wave, about to be crashed down. Two of the disciples are attempting to waken Jesus, who is asleep in the stern of the boat. But if you look really closely, you'll see that something is just not right. There are too many people in the picture. If you count them, there are 14. There should only be 13, 12 disciples plus Jesus. But there's 14. Conventional wisdom says that Rembrandt painted himself into the picture. He has placed himself in the same boat as Jesus and the disciples. He's put himself in the lifeboat of humanity where we all reside. Rembrandt wants to purposely experience the storms of life, knowing that with all certainty that Jesus isn't offshore watching us from afar, but he's right there. He's in the boat with us. And that's good news. Because too often we forget when the storms of life come crashing in on us, we forget that fact that Jesus is in the boat with us always. And I venture to say that all of us in this room are facing some sort of storms in our lives. It could just be a heavy rain, like a squabble with a coworker or a disagreement with a friend or a neighbor. Maybe it's a heavy rain with some gale force winds, like not being able to find a job we like, or that whole dating thing just not working out. It slips our minds, doesn't it, that Jesus is weathering these relatively minor storms with us. But we also tend to forget that Jesus is in the boat with us during the major storms, the tornadoes of our lives, when a long-term relationship ends, when we find ourselves financially underwater, when our parents or someone we love or we ourselves receive an ominous report from the doctor. And I choose to believe that this forgetfulness is not necessarily a lack of faith. In some cases, sure. But more fundamentally, I believe it's a lack of understanding of what faith is all about. If we don't realize that Jesus is in the boat with us, then we allow ourselves to be guided not by faith in his love and his grace, but by fear. We give in to the panic that the storms that surround us naturally causes us, instead of realizing that they aren't the real problem. In the 4th century, St. Augustine wrote that when you have to listen to abuse, that means you are being buffeted by the wind. When your anger is aroused, you are being tossed by the waves. So when the winds blow and the waves mount high, the boat is in danger, your heart is imperiled, your heart is taking a battering. On hearing yourself insulted, you long to retaliate. But the joy of revenge brings with it another kind of misfortune. And that misfortune is shipwreck. Why is this? Or in other words, why do you feel this way? Augustine says it's because Christ is asleep in you. What do I mean? I mean you have forgotten his presence. Rouse him then. Remember him. Let him keep watch within you. Pay heed to the Jesus that resides in you. Brothers and sisters, when we realize that we cannot control the storms around us any more than we can control the weather, then our need for faith in God, in the Christ who can bend even the wind and the seas to his will, that need becomes ever more important. Faith means we choose not to give in to fear, but instead we center ourselves in the power of God. Faith means we choose to practice the spiritual disciplines of worship and study and outreach that draw us closer to the heart of God. Faith means fully participating in this community that is bound together by God's Holy Spirit. Faith means remembering that Jesus stands with us, that Jesus is in the boat with us. A word of warning, when we choose faith over fear, when we choose to follow the Christ who stays with us in the boat, by definition, we're then going to be surrounded by new and different storms that today we can't even begin to imagine. The great retired Bishop Will Willimon puts it this way: perhaps you thought there'd be smooth sailing with Jesus. You thought that with Jesus in the boat, there'd be no storms, no waves, no fear. No. Almost every page of Mark's gospel proclaims that Jesus is the center of the storm. When Jesus is near, the wind picks up, the waves bang against the side of the boat, and there's trouble. Well, and that's because we choose to live a life of faith that is counter to the values of society. Brothers and sisters, the storms of life have been raging this week in ways that we couldn't even begin to imagine 3 months ago. And yet we know that Jesus has been and continues to be in the center of it all. Amen? I shared with the staff at our Tuesday meeting that we don't have enough hours in a day to create new banners and hang them all on our corner for all of the storms that are coming our way as people who follow Christ Jesus. So going forward, we're not just putting out new banners. We have one now that it's the world and it says, "Love your enemies, Jesus." So I invite you to look at that as you go out. But going forward, we plan to use our marquee not just for sermon titles and worship times, but we plan to use it as a means of being prophetic about the policies of this nation because Jesus is in the boat with us. So this week, our marquee reads, "Stop Separating Families, Jeff Sessions," referencing the administration's zero tolerance policy on immigration that has caused nearly 3,000 children to be forcibly removed from their parents. And while these separations have slowed, they haven't completely stopped for the moment. There's no clear plan to reunite these children with their families. And we called out Jeff Sessions specifically because he is a United Methodist. He has been a delegate to General Conference in the past. And just 2 weeks ago, over 600 clergy filed official church charges against Sessions for violating the social principles and the general rules of the United Methodist Church by instituting policies that, instead of doing good and doing no harm, these policies do evil and do great harm. Amen. You know, I'm aware that this is the third consecutive Sunday I've preached on this crisis, and that's because it is a storm that we have not seen. I've not seen anything like this in my lifetime. It is a crisis of spiritual and moral proportions. It is that kind of a tsunami that is facing this country, and it seems to get worse with each passing day. This week we learned that some children who have been taken from their parents have been placed in cages. Others have no idea where their parents are, and parents have no idea where their children are. Many have been sent from the border to agencies and to shelters and institutions all across the United States. Here in Los Angeles, there are several locations to which children have been sent. And the LA Times reported yesterday that one of those institutions, where up to 60 children will be housed, is the David and Margaret Home in Laverne. The David and Margaret Home was begun as an orphanage by the Methodist Women's Society around the turn of the 20th century. And it continues to this day, not as an orphanage, but rather it offers transitional housing for young girls who have been in issues of abuse or in other situations. It offers a foster family agency program. It offers a private school for children who have learning disabilities and difficulties. And it provides mental health and supportive services to this age range of about, I think, around 8 to 18. This week, I will be learning about how we as a congregation can be supportive of not just the children who are coming from the border, but perhaps other children that are there and who are being received through our United Methodist Connection, because that is part of what it means to be the hands and feet of Christ. Amen. And next week, in addition to our celebration for Reverend Denise, we will have a letter writing table. And in fact, we're probably going to start having a letter writing table on a regular basis that will enable us to speak our faith and hold our elected officials accountable when they provide policies that are cruel to our brothers and sisters and their children who are simply coming here to seek peace and safety. Because while Jesus is in the boat with us during our own storms, we need to be Christ in the boat that these innocent migrant children are in. A boat that is not just experiencing a physical storm of sorts, but an emotional and a mental one as well. We need to be Christ with these children of God, some of whom are just babies. 10 of these children are newborns. Some of these children are in danger of never being reunited with their families. And I say all that, brothers and sisters, to also say, we don't know what other storms are on the horizon. How many of us thought we'd be here today? We didn't think so, as a nation. We don't know what the future holds. We only know that Jesus stands by us in this lifeboat of humanity, and that we are all in this together. Let me close with words from the great theologian Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite writers. He writes, "Christ sleeps in the deepest selves of us all. And whatever we do, in whatever time we have left, wherever we go, may we be in whatever way we can call on him as the fishermen did in their boat, to come awake within us and to give us courage, to give us hope, to show us each one our way. May Christ be with us, especially when the winds go mad and the waves run wild, as they will for all of us before we are done, so that even in their midst, we might find peace, the peace of Christ. So no matter the storms in our lives, or in the lives of others, or even on cruise ships, Christ will always give us peace and stand by us in the boat. Amen.